Good evening, and welcome to Financial Time Machine. I'm Megan Thomas. Tonight, we're stepping back into another chapter of everyday American life, exploring the money, culture, habits, and quiet routines that shaped previous generations. From grocery stores and family dinners, to old advertisements, retirement dreams, and the way people once thought about debt, security, and success, this podcast is a journey through the forgotten rhythms of American life. Somewhere between nostalgia and history, there's usually a lesson. So settle in, slow down for a little while, and let's take a trip back in time. This is Financial Time Machine. Imagine a Saturday morning in 1956, a kitchen table lit by a small lamp, a radio tuned low, and a thin leather pocket planner opened across the linoleum. Inside, a folded pay envelope waits, crisp bills, a few coins clinking softly. Someone reaches for a pencil, runs it along neat columns, and crosses off the mortgage payment with a deliberate stroke. That small mechanical motion, the pencil mark, the folding of a receipt into a designated slot, was more than bookkeeping. It was a ritual that slowed time, made decisions visible, and turned money into a daily practice you could touch.
Where did these little paper systems come from? By the mid-20th century, more Americans were paid on regular weekly or biweekly cycles. Manufacturers were producing compact pocket planners and check registers, and retailers and banks printed forms that encouraged handwriting. The Postal Service, too, set a steady rhythm. Bills and paychecks arrived on fixed days, and mail mattered in a way it rarely does now. Paper was the interface for money.
Consider the pay envelope, a modest folded note that carried a family's week. The envelope wasn't just cash, it was intention. You had a slot for groceries, one for rent, one for the shoe fund. An envelope labeled Sunday school or auto repair meant those needs had a voice and a place. The physical separation made it easier to resist impulse purchases, because to spend, you had to break a seal, move paper, and change a habit.
There was also the check register and the checkbook, little ledger lines that demanded you write where every dollar went. Balancing a checkbook became a nightly ritual for many households. A cup of coffee, a lamp, a register, and the soft rub of an eraser. The act of writing a payment, subtracting it, and seeing the new balance built a quiet accountability. It made scarcity visible and savings tangible, even when the numbers were small.
Those paper rituals extended beyond the household book. Local businesses kept small ledgers, barbers with notebooks of regulars and tabs, grocers who remembered who paid on Thursday, churches with envelopes for offerings that also tracked attendance and giving. The ledger created social ties. It created trust and norms. You didn't ghost a bill. You spoke about it at the counter. You wrote it down. You preserved a relationship with your handwriting.
And then there are the small human stories that bring paper to life. I picture a young mother in the late 1960s balancing a checkbook by lamplight while a radio plays softly, making sure the grocery penciled total fits inside the envelope marked food. Or a teenager in the 70s carefully labeling a manila envelope record fund, tucking away a few dollars from a summer job, until one Saturday in August when the envelope had just enough for a new album. The pause before the purchase, the reach toward paper instead of an app, made buying a conscious, sometimes ceremonious decision.
There's a story I love about a barber who kept a little ledger behind his chair. He listed names, services, and a small ode column. Customers who trusted him would say, "Put it on my tab." And that trust was often repaid with loyalty, conversation, and a handshake when the account was settled. Paper made promises visible, not anonymous transactions, but human ones.
What did those rituals teach families about money? First, patience.
Most paper systems enforced a cadence: weekly pay, monthly bills, a slow build of savings. If you wanted something, you waited and watched the numbers change on the page. Second, visibility. The physical act of writing made expenses concrete. You could see where your dollars were going in ink. Third, communication. Balancing the books was often a family practice. Couples talked through envelopes and priorities in a way that digital autopay and silent apps rarely encourage.
By contrast, today's transactions are quiet and instant. A purchase can vanish from attention with a single tap. We trade the satisfying scratch of a pencil for a ledger buried in an app. Convenience is real and useful, but it changes psychology. Instant payments shrink friction, and with friction removed, impulse rises. The paper rituals of the past introduced friction on purpose. They created time to consider, to hesitate, to choose.
So what can we borrow from those small paper habits? You don't need to reject the digital world to borrow the lesson. Try one small experiment this week, a one-week pocket ledger. Carry a small notebook or a single folded envelope. Label sections for essentials, savings, and treats. When a purchase looms, place the receipt into the envelope and wait until the end of the day before deciding. Or adopt a pause envelope. For anything over a modest dollar amount, put a written note in the envelope and come back to it 48 hours later. The physical act of moving paper creates a tiny space where impulse cools.
These practices aren't about moralizing money. They're about reclaiming attention. They're about the pleasure of crossing a line in a ledger and knowing where you stand. They're about family conversations that begin with, "We have X in the envelope for that," rather than a notification from an algorithm. If you try one small paper ritual this week, let it be modest, a single envelope, a short pencil ledger, a 48-hour pause before non-essential purchases. Notice not just the money you save, but the way your day changes, how decisions feel a little slower and a little clearer. And if you'd like more, I'll walk through a step-by-step pocket ledger in a future episode. For now, pick one tiny ritual and keep it simple.
And that's where we'll leave our journey tonight. The past may look different through modern eyes, but sometimes, hidden inside old routines and forgotten traditions, we find pieces of ourselves we've been missing. Thank you for spending a little time traveling through history with me. Until next time, keep one foot in the past. Good night. And thanks for listening to Financial Time Machine.